Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
Same as Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly. Oh, stop! What's
up with that? Jim, Matt, and Molly continues live from the Everlight Solar Studio. I am Jim Rutledge alongside Alex G. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube page. And we are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde. Matt Hamilton is curling. Molly's still out with babies, but she returns early next month. And Jason, I know obviously you don't write your own headlines, but I feel like you appreciate a good headline, especially from The Onion. And I wanted to get your response to the headline here. Numerous teams expressed interest in Aaron Rodgers playing elsewhere.
Yeah, I saw that too. That was pretty funny. I did chuckle, which I needed a good chuckle after watching our boy from the wildly popular program Matt and Gravats go down to defeat today. At the U.S. Olympic team trials. That was a big-time bummer. So I needed that headline from The Onion. I saw it about four different places as I cleaned off the red dots on my various social media pages.
Yes, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Kind of seems to, what's the word here, put a big exclamation point on the Aaron Rodgers experience right now in free agency. Do you think he's going to land somewhere?
I do. I don't think he sucks as bad as people want to believe that he sucks, one. And two, I'm really curious to see if he has it in him to say, you know what, I have lots of opinions, but I want to play football more. I don't want to go out the way that last season with the Jets went. So I'm going to, for lack of a better term, shut up and dribble. And if a team doesn't want me to go on McAfee, I'm not going to do it. I can always do that when my career is over. But I'm going to go out there and show everybody that's betting against me, just like the coach at Purdue who sent the message, the letter that said, good luck with your attempt at a college football career, and all the people that watched me sit in the green room hour after hour during the 2005 draft. And I want to do all that. I've been known for having this chip on my shoulder for my entire football life, and now I got a new one. And if that means I've got to set aside some of the stuff that people find off-putting about me, so be it, because I want to go out there and win, and I want to go win the Comeback Player of the Year and the MVP award in 2025. So I'm not going to decide who's playing on my team. I'm not going to decide how they have to adjust to me. I'm going to go in there and play really good football for some team that needs me. If he can do that, which I don't know right now if he can or he can't, but if he can, I think the guy can still play. I went back on NFL Plus and looked at some of the games, and he is definitely not as mobile as he was, obviously, but looks to me like he can still sling it. So I don't know what he's prepared to do. It's like that line in well, Gravatt won't get this, but in The Untouchables, where Sean Connery says to Kevin Costner, what are you prepared to do? I want to see what Aaron Rodgers is prepared to do.
I think that's interesting. We want to ask...
Hold on. Do you know what The Untouchables is?
I have not seen it, though.
Okay. I just wanted to know... Like,
yeah, and by the way, can I give a coaching point here?
Yeah.
Gravatt clearly wanted to switch gears.
Yeah.
Don't bother with that I find that interesting, or whatever that segue was. Because it doesn't even sound heartfelt. It's
right.
Just like, I want to get to my point now, so I need to find some sort of filler to transition.
And that's what triggered me to ask the question then. Because I was like, you're just moving past that so fast. I was like...
It went over my head.
Like, and so now I'm more curious about this. So Untouchables, like, what do you know?
About that much. I've heard of it. I know it's a movie, right?
What's up with that?
Yes.
I mean, I've not seen it.
All right. I mean, it's also a group of law enforcement agents led by Elliot Ness who fought Al Capone, the crime syndicate in Chicago. So it's like...
Oh, that is interesting. Okay, fun fact.
Yeah,
one of my elementary school buddies...
Al Capone gave you a cookie?
Yeah, no, no. Okay. No. One of my elementary school buddies, his grandpa
is an organized crime.
Yeah, his grandpa was the getaway driver for Al Capone whenever he went up to my hometown because he loved Elkhart Lake, which he was a part owner in the resort that I ended up working at through high school.
So you should see Untouchables.
All right, yeah, I'll mark it down.
You should. One more thing, you should, because it's a period piece, obviously, set during Prohibition. So even though it's an old movie from, like, I don't know, Jim, what is that, like 1988, maybe?
Yeah, or very early 90s, somewhere in that range.
So it's obviously an old movie, but because it's, there you go, but because it's set in a specific era, the reason I say it and the reason I brought it up is it was just, it's in heavy rotation right now on Showtime, and I'm an old person who still watches cable as opposed to streaming things.
Okay.
So I tend to watch a lot of things that I wasn't planning on watching, which I like that experience, as opposed to the, well, I have a list of things that I want to watch, and it's on my list.
You know what?
Netflix.
That's the underrated, I would say the only positive about cable. You don't just drop into a movie anymore. You get frozen by, you know, like kind of a paralysis by analysis of like, what should I start?
And then I just keep watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine again, because why not?
Exactly.
I fall into the same pattern.
Or Law and Order for me.
Yeah.
Jason,
so
you're...
I highly recommend it. It is one... I will put it up there as one of the great American movies in history.
Wow.
And I think that it has been borne out, if you look at some of the things that have been written about the greatest films in American history, it is in the conversation.
Yeah.
So
Kevin Costner...
It is worth your time...
Go ahead. Sorry, I finished it because I was going to give the rundown.
No,
here.
I'm good. Go ahead. I'm
Kevin
done.
Costner,
I'm
Sean done. Connery, Andy Garcia, Robert De Niro are the names that you would know in that. So that's kind of...
Great cast.
Patricia Clarkson's maybe someone you've seen as well in some things. So it is a star-studded cast, a high-end director, and yeah, cinema.
But Jason, you said that you just find yourself watching TV. You have multiple children. You are on radio for 3 hours in the morning, and then you do spots on every show we have.
What are you, his manager now?
When do you find time to just watch
what
TV?
Are you watching TV?
Work from home.
So that's actually a great question, because I don't really... Here's the thing. I don't really watch TV. I have the TV on.
So it's old school. Like it.
From my writing career, obviously I've been doing, like, I wrote my first story professionally for the Capital Times in the fall of 1991, which is well before you were born, G.
A couple years, thank you.
And I am used to being in loud environments, whether it's in arenas or stadiums or press boxes where guys are yapping all the time. So when I write, I like to have some sort of background noise, and I want to put on something that I've seen before. So then it's the noise is there, and I might glance up at it on occasion, but I'm not going to get engrossed in it by, say, I still haven't watched the third season of Ted Lasso because of the schedule that I keep with all the girls' activities and everything else, because I can't watch that while I'm writing, because then 45 minutes will go by and I won't have written a word, and I'll be looking up at the screen and going, oh, I didn't write anything because I was engrossed in that. So like the Untouchables, you know, I can look up when, I don't want to spoil it for you since you're going to go home and watch it tonight. I can loan you the VHS tape if you need it. But anyway, that's how I operate.
If you're writing a story or you're just hitting a block, right? It's the middle of the off season. You don't know what you're doing. Is there a movie that you go to that you're like, this is the white sound that I need to write?
God, by the way, white sound, that is really white noise, white sound. That's a really good line. That's exactly what it kind of is for me. So well done. I would say there's a couple of them. Another movie that seems to be in heavy rotation is Jack Reacher.
Okay.
The Tom Cruise version. Not the show that I would actually like to watch on Amazon Prime.
It's on my list too, Jason.
Seen it.
Yeah.
Right. So I can't watch it.
Haven't gotten around to it. Yep.
So it's that Shawshank always when it comes on, always works for me. Shooter with Mark Wahlberg, another good one to just have on in the background. That's kind of what I've had on. And then Law and Order, I've seen every Law and Order episode, all 466 or whatever they are. multiple times. Coach Dick Bennett and I used to have long conversations. I went and interviewed him at his house once after he retired, and it turned into a discussion of our favorite Law & Order episodes because he and I just always watched reruns of Law & Order, which the fact that I'm comparing myself to a, 75, 76, 78-year-old man tells you everything you need to know about me.
So, I mean, I love this insight into Jason Wilde. We got to get some Packer stuff because, look, I also find some of those shows almost cathartic or therapeutic. Big Chill is a movie that I can put on. The soundtrack's amazing, and it hits me. Every time I watch it, it hits me on a different stage of life, and it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But then Frasier and MASH, I've probably seen a million times.
Oh, you're a MASH guy.
Oh, yeah. So if I'm doing my day job here at ESPN Madison, if I'm at home, those are just on. Just on in the background. I had a thought. And so and I got a question here for Jason Wilde in a second. It's just how my brain works. I also get a little notification like, hey, Jim, you got a thought. But same thing.
There it is.
In the criminal justice system.
Oh, no.
In the ESPN Madison radio show, we have Jason Wilde on, and we should ask him a Packer-related question. So we're going to do that right now. And we asked the question, our Siding Limited poll question is, if Devontae Adams had his choice, do you think he'd want to go with Jordan Love and the Packers to play next year or go where Aaron Rodgers goes? Because I think that's a true friendship. How? I don't know, but it seems like it is. So what do you think, like, if he had his choice, do you think Devontae would rather play with Jordan Love and the Packers or go play wherever Aaron plays?
I think he'd rather go with the Packers.
Okay.
And I also think that because of how things have kind of played out for him the last couple of years. Tausch made a really great point today about the fact that essentially every decision that he has made with where to go in his career the last several years has backfired, right? I mean, he thought it was a good idea to go with Derek Carr, and then that Raiders thing went. I mean, remember, he was a first-team All-Pro that first year with the Raiders, regardless of how things played out with Derek Carr. But then he went to the Jets, and obviously that was a complete abject failure too. So I think, going places for specific people does not appear to work. And so I think he's probably more, look, first of all, as we kind of started this conversation, like, who the heck knows where Rodgers is going to land?
Right.
And when, right? And so I think it's important to keep in mind that Adams not only does not have a Super Bowl, so he clearly wants to win. So if somehow, say, the Chiefs were to have an interest in him, I would think he'd have to seriously consider that, right? I mean, he doesn't want to miss out on an opportunity. He arrived in 14. He went to the 14, 16, 19, and 20 NFC Championship games and never got to the Super Bowl. So that is a hole on his resume. But speaking of resumes, the guy wants a gold jacket. And I think he's been, my analysis of guys that merit the Hall of Fame are, were they the best player at their position for an extended period of time? And for at least 3 years and maybe more, he was, if not the best wide receiver, number one or number two or maybe number three. And he needs to get back to a place of substance and a place where he's going to get the football and his team is going to win. And that obviously did not happen with the multiple years that he wasted in Vegas and now the year he wasted in New York. So I think those are parts of the equation for him. I don't think the Packers are very far off, even though it sometimes feels that way with them. So I would be willing to guess that makes a lot more sense for him than wherever Rodgers goes.
So I saw, and we're talking with Jason Wilde, and I saw a report that Devontae finds the Chargers intriguing, and the Chargers would check a box of getting him closer to home. Justin Herbert, I think, is more proven commodity, and is honestly a major arrow pointing up now that he has a real offensive-minded coach in Jim Harbaugh. That could be checking multiple boxes for Devontae. So how real of a, I don't want to say threat, but it seems like the Packers are in good positioning here, but the Chargers do seem equally important and warmer and closer to home.
Yeah, I wrote that story last week that that he's open to the idea of a reunion with the Packers. I think it's important to note, though, that he didn't say he was, or the source close to him didn't say that he was, like, dying to get to the Packers or wants to rejoin the Packers. You know, the choice of the word open, I thought, was important. Because I don't know. I think he wants to keep his options open, right? And nobody can blame him for that. So whether it's the Rams or the Chargers, who are both in L.A., which is close to home for him, the 49ers, who are moving on from Deebo Samuel, you know, they might be able to flip the script and get back to being what they have been. I don't personally believe that, but it's possible. I would think that he wants to go to a place where he feels good about the chances of winning, and the idea of comfort of being, you know, he's from East Palo Alto, California, so the 49ers are the closest proximity wise to home. I'm sure he would have no trouble selling his home in Las Vegas and finding another place. Hey, he can go play for the Titans, and all those guys can live in the same neighborhood outside of Nashville, but I think he really wants his gold jacket, and he really wants to win. And so I think he wants to keep his options open. And I think the Chargers, even though they got bounced in the first round of the playoffs, they've got a really good young quarterback. They've got a good defense. They've got a legit coach. Those are all reasons to see them as a viable option.
So if he's going to go somewhere that's going to be a championship caliber team, do you think that he sees that coming back to the Packers?
I think he sees them as a more likely championship caliber team if he's playing for them. Mm. You know, and you got to look at where they're at wide receiver wise. Like, I think realistically, you know, let's not forget, first of all, he's not washed. Like, he may have, you know, things may not have gone well for him in New York or in Vegas, but I don't think that's a him problem.
Didn't he still have 1,000 yards?
He did in 14 games. And partial games in some of those instances. So, yes, I don't think he's washed. And so, you know, I'm looking at the Packers going, all right, these guys play the Eagles as tough as anyone. They have a legit defense with a legit defensive coordinator. They run an offense that I spent 3 years in under LaFleur. They're familiar with me. And they have a need at wide receiver. Like, he said that on the Kay Adams show. And he's right. Like, Watson will be back in November at the earliest, given when he tore his ACL. We don't know what the future holds for Romeo Doubs with his staying home from work that one time, being unhappy, and then having two concussions in the second half of the season. Neither Reed nor Wicks made huge jumps forward in year two like you were expecting. He's the and I keep saying this, but I believe this, he's the perfect, like, interim number one guy, as opposed to say, hey, let's give up draft capital when they franchise tag T. Higgins and acquire him from the Bengals. You're married to him as your number one for the next 5 years then. Devontae can be the number one for the next 2 years while those other guys grow into that role, and then sometime in year two of him being back, one of those guys can surpass him the way Devontae surpassed Jordy Nelson during the 17 season, and he can unlike Jordy, who Goody foolishly got rid of, he could still stay on the roster and help that next guy and be the number two guy or the 2B guy. I just think it makes too much sense. I really want to know if Goody actually has an interest in him or not. I did text him today because I promised Strofe I would, and Goody did not reply, so I do not know.
So I know that it makes sense, right? It feels good as a Packer fan. I would love to see it. Like, 17 is one of my favorite numbers. I'm a big fan of Devontae. I've liked him the whole time. But I'm struggling, and this, I'm not on the inside, obviously, but I'm struggling to see a world where it's realistic that he's just going to let bygones be bygones and come back to Goody. Can you lay this out where that is a possibility?
Yeah, it ain't show friends, Gravatt. It's show business. And he needs a job, and he needs a job at a place that's going to get him the Super Bowl opportunity and the gold jacket opportunity. And maybe there are better places, and he'll choose there. But if he doesn't have a ton of options that check those boxes, I think the Packers have a lot to offer for him. And so I think, unlike me, who's really bad about holding grudges, I think he can probably say, for the betterment of my career, I'm going to look past the fact that this guy screwed up by not extending me before the 21 season.
Jason, awesome insight as always. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That interview was maybe untouchable.
Oh,
there.
Come on.
Prime time. All right. It's Dame Time on Season 4 of Behind the Bucks podcast presented by Gallagher. Explore Bucks superstar Damian Lillard's unlikely journey from a two-star high school prospect to a top 75 player in NBA history. Narrated by senior NBA insider Chris Haynes, this series reveals exclusive details of Dame's trade to the Bucks and experience with the team. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefit consultant. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.